Yeah, this is the MGO Block Podcast 1.4. That was my general reaction to the weekend. I had a giggle fit. I had a giggle fit. This week we talk about the Notre Dame game, of course, the Big Ten season coming up, possibility of a New Year's Day Bowl, and much more with Jamie Mack of Just Cover. First, we're going to talk with Tim.
That's me.
That's Tim. And then we're going to act like Muppets, because Muppets, Muppets, Muppets. All right, here we go. Tim, hello, Tim.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. Wow.
Yeah, wow. lots of wow happening.
Yeah, wow happening. I think that Saturday was probably, the third best day of my career, quote unquote, as a Michigan fan. The only two that's behind is the Rose Bowl in 98 and the Ohio State game in 97.
Like, as a fan for neither of those games, I can say the only thing that rivals Saturday for me is the victory over Notre Dame in 2006, where Paul and I were there. I was on the field. It was amazing. But Saturday was pretty good.
Don't give them our secret that this isn't live. It's MP3, and Tim's worried about making it seem live. But yeah, it just like the whole thing, like, you know, especially the way the state lost, like, not just that they lost to Central Michigan, but the way that they lost to Central Michigan.
Honestly, and we talked about this briefly, but I like seeing the Big Ten do well out of conference, but that was good times. Actually,
you can make some certain exceptions for state losing to Central again.
Yes, since they're they consider themselves like the lifeblood of the state of Michigan's economy.
Yeah.
And
without Michigan State, the state crumbles. That series is actually like 4-3 state. It's a real rivalry.
State is not doing well. I think they're like 0-2 against Western all time as well. Something like that.
Yeah. Well,
one of those teams.
And can we both agree that Notre Dame is just going to completely crush them on this
weekend? Oh, yeah. Immediately after the game on Saturday, I was worried that maybe Notre Dame is just kind of bad and we aren't that good, but I think Notre Dame is actually really good, and it thrills me to death that they're at worst the third best team we'll see all year, I think.
Probably,
And there's a W in the result column.
Absolutely. So. It's not like they won't lose to Iowa or Illinois or Michigan State, but they have beaten a team that seems pretty obviously better than any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've talked a lot of crap about Jimmy Clausen in my day, but I
think it looks he's
I gotta
finally
take
looking
it back.
Good.
Yeah, no, that was
I totally mean, agree with you. I've been thinking the same thing. Like, he learned how to play.
They totally shredded our secondary, and you know, I was right about Donovan Warren being really, really good, but I just didn't take into account that Sissoko was just gonna be so exploitable.
See, I honestly, even when I watched the game, I didn't think Sissoko was that bad until like the fourth quarter, but then it was kind of like he was by no stretch good.
Yeah,
but he was not.
Live, just like in the stadium, his guy was open all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I he's not going to go up against a receiver half as good as probably either of those guys.
See, and that's the thing. You go up against the best receiver, he won't see anybody that good probably for the rest of
the year. Right, because Warren's going to get Ben. And
W in the result column, so.
So, yeah, that was kind of a downer, I guess, but. You know, they won. They won despite playing two walk-ins on defense for large chunks of the game because when Mike Williams went out, they got in a safety.
A hearty shout-out to Jordan Kovacs.
Jordan Kovacs. And, you know, when Brandon Graham got tired and needed a breather, they brought in, you know, that Will Heininger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you beat that offense with, you know, a defense that's so thin that you have no mm-hmm. nickel back and you're playing two walk-ons at certain points. I mean, that's... It's a hell of a win. So, and then, of course, Ohio State lost, which was deliciously awesome. And did you see at the end of the game when Pryor was walking off the field, he was tearing up?
Well, can you blame him? Like, he's in large part personally responsible for this. And I think I have said this. I don't know if you necessarily agree, but he's not very good. Like, he's an elite athlete, but as a quarterback, he's like...
Like,
eh.
He had a couple of impressive throws. There was, like, one where he dropped it to Posey right over the tight end.
I thought that was kind of lucky, but, yeah.
Well, that was, I mean, lucky or not, results-based charting service.
Indeed.
That was a badass throw that I would have made a DO. But, you know, and then the interception that almost got run back for a touchdown and accounted for 7 of their 18 points for the Trojans,
and it's basically a 10-point swing there. Not that Ohio State was in field goal range yet, but it certainly ended a drive that could have plausibly ended it.
I mean, just imagine if Pryor was playing at Michigan, like, how much more dangerous would he be? Like,
yeah, exactly. And, hey, great choice, guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that he went to Ohio State because they wanted he didn't want to be like a spread quarterback and but he is a spread quarterback.
Yes. He didn't want to be a spread quarterback, nor did he want to win. Apparently.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know,
realize your own skills and find the school
and then,
that fits that.
And then look at what Forcier is doing at Michigan. He in two games he's completed almost 70% of his passes. He had 33 attempts last game, mm-hmm. which was probably what 10 or 15 more than Pryor had. Like
yeah.
It was
as pointed out by Dr. Saturday, more than Pat White, I think, ever threw under Rich Rodriguez.
Absolutely. So, you know, Rich Rodriguez is a guy who's going to take your strengths and adapt his offense to your strengths, as we've seen. I mean, he's used the tight end quite a lot this year, and he's using Forcier at what he's good at. And, you know, Jim Tressel has taken Terrell Pryor, and he's trying to make him into, I guess.
Sit in the pocket and throw the ball, which you can
do. There are elements to their offense where they have option plays and draws and stuff
like
that.
But it's trying to horn him into something that he can do, but it's not what he's best at.
And that's still kind of strange because when they had Troy Smith and, I mean,
they threw a lot.
They completely changed their offense for Troy Smith, and I don't understand why Tressel wouldn't do a similar thing with.
When you have a quarterback who can run a 4.3340.
Who's faster than life itself. All right, we're going to get Jamie Mack on the line, and then we're going to talk some more about betting and football. We'll see you on the other side of the room. All right, we're bringing in Jamie Mack, frequent MGO blog diarist and the blogger at justcoverblog.com. He is the resident gambling expert on the blog, I think. And how you doing, Jamie?
Doing well, Brian. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
Me too, exactly. I'm relishing in an upside-down college football world today.
It's sort of upside-down, but it's also sort of like its return to
everything,
like
everything
normal.
Is back the way it should be.
State has just lost humiliatingly and incredibly Sparty no fashion to Central Michigan, and Michigan has a team again, and everybody wants to fire Notre Dame's coach. It's like the world is back to where it should be.
Yeah, it's like that Talking Heads song. This must be the place.
So we were talking about this earlier. Where does Saturday rank on your all-time like personal list of football Saturdays for you?
It's up there pretty high as far as the games that I've attended there. Certainly, it's one of the better games I've been to recently. It's been at least probably the Manningham game 4 years ago since the Big House kind of really rocked like that, and there was just something. That game didn't quite have the showdown feel as yesterday did. I mean, you know, when the Big House has 15,000 Irish fans in there, it is so much more just chaotic and intense. And we hadn't had a barn burner like that in the Notre Dame Michigan series at the Big House in 10 years. So it was pretty cool. It ranks right up there. I don't know necessarily top one or two, but it's in the team photo, and it would be hard not to be in the top five.
Yeah, see, I can't think of anything other than the 97 Ohio State game for a game that I went to that I felt was more important. Because that Penn State game was a great game, but Michigan was already 3-3 at that point, and I mean it was important, but it didn't have sort of as, like especially with
urgency,
all the Rodriguez stuff. That felt like a program turning the corner, you know.
Yeah, you know, I got into the stadium 20-25 minutes before kickoff, and I was impressed with how it just felt like a heavyweight showdown somehow. You know, I was like, hey, did I just step back into the 80s? What happened here?
And I think ESPN aided that by, this is the only game going on this week besides Ohio State USC.
Yeah,
it's so much hype.
It finally lived up to it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that is a good Notre Dame team. Like, they are, like, I don't think Charlie Weiss is going to get fired. I can't find them losing. I mean, they'll probably lose to USC, but other than that, I mean, he'll probably drop one. But I think that's a 9-3 team.
And then the BCS Bowl, of course.
I mean, we talked about this last week, where because of the mid-major stuff, that meant they might have a tough time getting in at 9-3. But
they're looking like a 10-2 team, though.
Yeah, like I mean, I promised Brian Stouffer last week that there would be no yakety sacks.
There's no yakety sacks.
I mean, it'd be hard to come up with like enough incompletions to make one. So, I mean, that was a great, well played game on both sides of the ball. And you know, for as much as I've trashed Charlie Weiss, that looked like an offense worthy of the hype.
Well, yeah, and he's a you know, let's put it out there, he's a master play caller, and at various times yesterday he had the defense on its heels.
Well, like
requisite eye roll by Brian.
Well, so there's going to be something about this in the game column on Monday that I have to go into the poker metaphors to be like to really talk about what's wrong with him. So like, if Carr is like a weak tight guy who just doesn't play any cards, never bluffs and folds all the time.
Yeah.
Weiss is the exact opposite. I got this guy mm-hmm. who bets and bets and bets and bets, and mm-hmm. that's a better player, but it's not a good player. Like that second and 10 on Notre Dame's last drive where they bombed it downfield against Donovan Warren.
Yeah.
What? I mean, Warren had been in fantastic coverage all day, broke that pass up, and that is so low percentage. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand throwing.
That's what Les Miles, like, staked his reputation on when LSU won the national championship in 2007. But it just worked out for him more.
Those bets were a lot better. I mean, like, I can't tell you that, like, the Les Miles huge balls things are. I mean, there are good bets and there are bad bets.
Yeah.
And going up against Donovan Warren on a bomb on second, I mean, like, Carr would have run it three times and punted.
Makes you wonder how many times when he was with the Patriots that he made a play call and maybe Belichick overruled him and all of a sudden the Patriots won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so Carr would have run three times and punted it, but
he would have run a lot more time off the clock, or at least timeouts.
He would have taken the timeouts off the clock, but then Michigan would have had a lot more urgency at the beginning of the drive. But I mean, at the beginning of that drive, they ran off about 40 seconds just mm-hmm. like, you know, taking their time. So like, getting rid of the timeouts is not all that important, but after you run on first down and make them spend your first time out, then getting a first down, getting that drive, they ran off about 40 seconds just mm-hmm. like, you know, taking their time. So like, getting rid of the timeouts is not all that important, but after you run on first down and make them spend your first time out, then getting a first down, getting that drive, they ran off about 40 seconds just mm-hmm. like, you know, taking their time. So like, getting rid of the timeouts is not all that important, but after you run on first down and make them spend your first time out, then getting a first down,
they weren't in a place of desperation. So yeah, it was kind of bizarre.
Yeah, like if you're behind, that might make sense. Like, but when the odds are so in favor of you winning the game, you gotta take the percentage play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he wasn't doing that. So, I mean, I see where the Notre Dame fans' frustration comes in, because he's just not learning. Like the mm-hmm. Navy thing, he's better poker player than Lloyd Carr, but I would like the floor with
him. And he's totally the sort of guy that you could see being a very good coordinator, and as a head coach is kind of like
right.
Iffy.
He needs someone to smack him upside the head and say no. But enough about let's talk about our awesome team. So Tate Forcier, how many babies would you have by Tate Forcier?
Has he stopped working yet in Ann Arbor?
I have no idea. I mean, that is perhaps, I mean, has there ever been a freshman quarterback at Michigan, a sophomore quarterback at Michigan, who had that kind of performance? I can't remember one.
I don't know. I thought he was brilliant. That last drive, everybody around me in the gallery was freaking out because he was taking too much time. But I mean, he was calm. He knew exactly what he was doing. He played it perfectly. And I was amazed at how much faith I had in him the whole second half. And it never dawned on me that he was, you know, playing in his first big college game. It was crazy how my my lack of optimism psyche, Michigan fan, somehow turned that whole second half.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
the one time that I didn't have confidence in him was in the fourth quarter when he ran for a 31-yard touchdown. So results-based charting service, it worked out.
Yeah, that was so odd. Like, just like that guy's ankles are in the ICU somewhere.
Yeah.
Man. Like that.
I was fourth and two, and I was just like, oh god, he's gonna lose 3. Oh, touchdown. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like just that. Like, I had been annoyed with his running all game, actually, because he got outside a lot, and then he could have cut it up for, like, 7-8 yards a lot, but then he tried to cut outside the corner like he was still in high school,
which he
did successfully against Western, but obviously you can't do that against an opponent like Notre Dame. So I was happy when he cut that up.
You know, one thing that, you know, we tried to temper our optimism with a little bit, you know, in the off season, I was like, oh, you know, well, we got to the Rose Bowl with Henny as a true freshman. Yeah, but look at his supporting cast. But, my mentality on that has done a total 180 in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And I think
I don't know if I'm still hungover. I made them blue Kool-Aid or not on a Sunday afternoon, but you know.
Yeah, I think Tate as true freshman, like unquestionably, looks better than Henny as true freshman. If his upside is there, I don't know. I would guess no. But as a true freshman, So much poise.
I think he's better than Henny was as a true freshman, but mm-hmm. probably won't be as good as hypothetical Henny was as a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
not that we got to see much of hypothetical Henny, just the Citrus Bowl, basically. Man, do you? I mean, so everybody was basically 7-5, 6-6, that kind of thing before the season. What are you thinking now for Michigan's record?
Well, I think that it looks like they're going to have four quite possibly in the books by the time September's out. And if you you always hate to look ahead, but if you start with that premise, it's hard not to see them being able to double that. You know, I mean, if they can perform like that offensively, I don't see why not. It can't be more in the eight or nine range. I still, fear some of those road games in the Big Ten, particularly the two starting out in October. But I, as each day passes, I'm more and more comfortable about those games.
Well, I feel a little bit better about at least the first one now that I've seen Central Michigan can go in there and win.
And the thing about that is
I feel confident that Michigan can.
I mean, Central Michigan is run by, a Rich Rodriguez acolyte. Like,
yeah, and then look at that, all the people who hate on the Rodriguez coaching tree.
Right. And
there's a little bit of evidence in its favor.
Yeah, I mean, and they basically beat him by running Rodriguez offense with Dan LeFever, who's sort of like a Mac version of Fourcier. And, I don't think that defense is going to do a real good job of containing Michigan's offense. Now, Michigan's defense got shredded against Notre Dame and, I don't think they're as good as they looked against Western, but
no.
State didn't cover themselves in glory against Central either. So,
a couple things. Central Michigan, I don't know if you guys caught any of the game. They left a lot of points on the field. I mean, they drove all day on Michigan State. They just shot themselves in the foot a lot with some key penalties and I believe a turnover in the red zone. And then also, though, about the defense. I mean, I don't know if they're going to face anything in the sense of Clawson and Floyd and Tate in the Big Ten.
I think Clawson, Floyd, and Tate is the best you'll see all year.
I think that the defense is definitely somewhere in between Western and Notre Dame performance, but I still think they've got a chance if they stay healthy on the front 11 to be closer to the slide of Western.
Yeah, I think you can look at the defense and say that this will be a kind of a mediocre bent Big Ten defense. They'll be fifth or sixth by the end of the year.
It's hard to say after those two games are such wide-ranging performances. Obviously, the team is somewhere in between. Where they fall in between is the question.
So, are we thinking New Year's Day now? 8-4 might get them the Outback,
I think that New Year's Day, I'm not going to put any expectations on this team, but I think New Year's Day, it could definitely be a ceiling. If New Year's Day can actually be called a ceiling, but I just don't want to put any expectations on the team. They're just so young, but I think the potential. 2 weeks ago, we didn't think we had the potential to be on New Year's Day, but I think we definitely have that potential. So, but I'm not going to get invested in we must be playing in Florida on New Year's Day just because.
Yeah.
I mean, the youth is going to show up at times.
Which it did.
Ryan, you've kind of
get
so much kind so many times the lack of depth on the team. A few injuries could really derail the thing.
Yeah, I think at this point, Rodriguez is playing with house money as long as he racks up the other four wins that look pretty certain. Actually, Purdue's looking
Purdue's trending towards actually being kind of good. But
so but that's the only team on the schedule that looks tougher.
Yeah, everybody else is kind of taking a step back from preseason expectations.
Except for Notre Dame, who is in the past.
Yeah.
So, this could be interesting. There's a chance that this team is contending for the Big Ten title by the time the Penn State game rolls around.
I don't want to jinx anything, knock on wood, but I saw a projection this morning of Michigan, Rose Bowl, Ohio State, Fiesta Bowl or something, but Michigan second in Big Ten and potentially BCS bowling. I don't think that's probably your most likely outcome at this point, it's out there. So.
But, I don't want to get – I don't think we will beat Penn State. I don't think we will
either
beat Ohio State.
Either
but
either.
I think,
I would like to, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we feel like our chances are improving every day and to pull that off just how we played.
Well, it'll be interesting. You made a point like this on the blog, is that after the Western game, all those lines moved 3 or 4 points. And if they move again, then those are getting towards pick'em status. And then, once Illinois soils itself once more, things will start moving. So
I'm intrigued to see. The Michigan State line didn't move at all after week one. They were still favored, I think, by 4 points up there in East Lansing. I'm pretty sure that's going to change. And, Ohio State obviously looked good last night in some facets, but they also didn't look like they could score a whole lot of points in other facets. And, that line could actually move more, which would be a stunner for, the action in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, about USC is UFC, and I was really impressed with Ohio State's defensive line against USC until that last drive.
That's supposed to be, a really good USC offensive line, and Ohio State, they didn't necessarily have their way with them, but they at least held their own.
I mean, I don't think Ohio State is I don't think Ohio State is should look back on that USC with any sort of shame. I don't think that changed their projection as one of the two teams that.
Yeah, and I think going into the year when USC was supposed to be like this awesome team still, if you told Ohio State fans a 3-point loss, they'd say, "Hey, we'll keep it close then."
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that, like, you know, Barkley just didn't look very good. Like, mm-mm. I mean, that's the remarkable thing. Like, if you had to choose between Matt Barkley and Tate Forcier, who you got?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
right now it's Forcier.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes recruiting rankings take the pro thing into account too much. And so Barkley gets, you know, hyped up because he is this pro-style quarterback, 6'5", strapping, ninja kind of guy. And because Tate Forcier is a little bit shorter, he gets downgraded on that. Well, he's a lot shorter, but that's not hugely important in the college game. It's like whenever you see like a 5'8 guy go in like the fourth round of the NHL draft, you know that when he gets to college, he is going to be freaking awesome because he's a 5'8 guy who went in the fourth round of the NHL draft. So if you're doing recruiting rankings for hockey, you should have that guy higher. So, I mean, that's one of my, like, that's what was going to happen with Christian Pace, because he's like a 3-star on the sites. And everybody says they love his film. They love the fit at Michigan, and he will be an outstanding player for Michigan.
But the pro potential is not there, so he's going to get downgraded.
Which, I mean, I can understand that, because a lot of the times what you'll see is people will justify recruiting services' existence based on NFL draft stuff. So I get it, but I think that is a flaw.
Well, I mean, getting back to the Big Ten, you know, we touched on it earlier, but I think it's fascinating that, you know, the headline today is really that without a single conference game being played, the league race has been turned upside down just by the possible presence of Michigan's candidacy. Even if they get a road split to start the season with Penn State and Ohio State at home, you know, they could get the favorable tiebreakers in the end, you know, if they get another big win somewhere along the way. So given that backdrop, New Year's Day is definitely a possibility. But this is the year that we should just learn how to have fun watching Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, like, Michigan ends up like 8-4, goes to the Alamo Bowl or whatever. That's, and just enjoy it, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's no. This is the year when beating Western is spectacularly fun. You know, it's just.
Yeah, kind of like last year, I think, like, taught Michigan fans to enjoy the game instead of fearing the wrong outcome.
Right. Yeah. This is just all the dues that everybody paid last year. Mm-hmm. You get to have fun this year.
Oh yeah.
That's what's gonna happen. So I hear you had 24 bets last weekend.
Yeah, it got a little crazy yesterday.
How did those go?
It went pretty well. I had 21 bets on the blog, which is a lot more than I wanted. And then, you know, when I got home last night and settled in, you know, there were some late night West Coast games, so I threw three more, but I just didn't have the energy to post them. That's a lot more than I want. You know, when I did those Big Ten picks last year, I liked the authenticity of playing, making sure I played those games, kind of kept me honest. But you know, when you're just doing conference games, you know, there's only like 5 games on the schedule. Well, there's twice as many non-conference, so I don't know if I'm going to do that the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well,
that was crazy. And then I'm trying to prove a theory on the Phil Steele and his most improved team list. And through 2 weeks, it's doing well, but it's putting me on a lot more games than I feel comfortable being on. So I've got to maybe figure out what to do, because I don't like having that. That's just, I feel like a strung out junkie all morning.
Well, you had both Michigan and Central, right?
Yes, I did. I did. The Big Ten picks went 7-3, actually.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And I actually bet them all. The only one I did not bet was Ohio State.
Because
I've gotten just beat up too much. But I just had such a sneaky feeling that it was going to play out more defensive-minded than people thought. Kind of like the McCoy situation when he had his redshirt freshman opener. But USC has just crushed me, and a lot of people, Jim Harbaugh Scramble for one, if he's listening, always gets on my case about betting the Big Ten team over USC, so I told myself I wouldn't actually put that.
Yeah, so We should probably insert here that this is just for entertainment's sake.
Yes.
Please don't sue us or anything. Or...
This is just for entertainment purposes only. No stakes unless it's Zima or something.
That is correct.
Well, you asked earlier where this ranked, among, college football days. You know, we talked about our specific memories, at the Big House and specific games. But in the general scope, I want to ask you guys, when was the last time Michigan won and all three of the rivals, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State, lost?
I don't know. Do you know? Is this like a pop quiz?
I looked
quiz?
It up. I think I have it pinned down. I'm just wondering if you guys could venture a guess or, this speaks to just where I'm at on a daily basis. It's been a little bit.
Wow. I have no idea.
They never lose.
I definitely couldn't tell you.
So, I have it tracked October 2nd, 2004.
October 2nd, 2004.
Which I believe predates MGO Blog, right, Brian?
Yes, actually it does. MGO Blog was founded in the run-up to the Texas Rose Bowl, which was that year.
Yeah, that was the first Saturday of October. Michigan smoked Indiana, 38-14. Notre Dame lost to Texas A&M. Michigan State got rolled in Kinnick Stadium by Iowa. And then Ohio State lost in overtime on a Saturday night in Evanston to Northwestern.
Oh, I remember.
I was still living in Chicago, and I had zero problem closing down the late night bars all over Chicago that week. The whole city was packed with Buckeye fans.
So this is like a holiday, man.
Yeah,
this
I'm gonna show my poor pronunciation, but you're this week in
Schadenfreude.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Schadenfreude.
This is unprecedented for you. You've got to come up with some stuff this week.
Believe me, I
there's plenty of material out there.
Over the weekend, I had like every thread on ND Nation open in my browser at the same time. So just in case any of them got deleted, like I would still have it.
That's awesome.
So yes, I could do this week in Schadenfreude, like just on Notre Dame. I can't do that because I'm not writing. I'm writing it for. A national audience.
Neutral third party. Yeah,
but all three rivals will feature heavily. Ohio State, less so, I think, because it's just...
I think one thing about that is, like, Ohio State fans at this point are, like, resigned. Like, oh, yeah. our big non-conference game, we're going to lose, which is its own kind of funny.
And, like, they didn't get... Yeah. They just lost.
It was a competitive game.
I mean,
yeah.
And they didn't lose in a humiliating fashion. And they're not trying to fire Dressel. I'll be interested to see what we will always have Tempe... has to say about like the creeping Lloyd Cardness of the Trestle era.
Cause it's definitely
that was a Lloyd Carr.
The comparison is getting more apt by the
but
day,
not
probably.
Still not particularly apt,
but more apt.
Yeah, yeah, more apt.
I think that he. I sort of see his comparison, but I also don't see his comparison. You know, on the surface, there's not much difference between Lloyd Ball and Trestle Ball. It's very conservative. The whole concept of bringing the scoring offense out, and whatnot. But I think he's taking a comparison and making too big of a jump because the tail end of Lloyd Carr was not as much what happened between the field, but he just wasn't recruiting with the ferocity that you need to be recruiting at this level. I don't think Trestle's slowing down there, so.
No, that's true. But also, Carr's player development really tailed off too. And, I don't think he's thinking about this as, the last two or three years of Carr, but he's sort of like...
Yeah, he's kind of Trestle's going down that path.
Right.
He's not necessarily that far along.
He's possibly jumping the gun in a paranoid fashion about, Trestle's decline phase, which will happen at some point, but I don't think it'll start for another 5 years. He's not that old.
I think what Sam is trying to do is he's trying to plant the seeds for the eventual upset that might come their way. It's kind of like how, last year things fell off the tracks for Michigan, but there have been several years in recent history where, a bounce or two going another way in a few different games, and last season happens some other time. And then he was just showing all these near upsets, it's bound to happen in college football,
Yeah. They weren't that near, though. There was, that Akron game that finished 20-2, and it was close, but...
The Ohio game last year, though, and the...
There was that Cincinnati game, but that was actually a pretty good Cincinnati game.
Yeah, they almost lost the Cincy here. They won the title, and then Marshall, I think, missed like a 49-yard field goal at the buzzer, almost beat them 1 year.
Well, I mean, that'll happen.
DG had a chance. They threw the ball in the end zone, down 4. Damn, I wish that would have happened.
you and
Tim if that had happened where I live here in the Toledo BG area, last year just would have been our turn.
the whole like three rivals losing thing. We need like some lingo for that. It's like something won. It's like the first.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Yeah, so we should throw that open to the commenters because somebody will come up with something as brilliant as Deathbacker.
If the suits at the NFL are just going to give me the Lions Saints and the Bengals Broncos game, when I get off with this, I'll put a forum topic up there.
did anybody see that when Chris Brown was breaking down the Michigan Notre Dame game? Chris Brown does smart football and he's a genius.
Charlie Weiss
actually thought that the official name for the position was Deathbacker.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that too.
which is it's kind of a nice thing that he takes MGoBlog very seriously.
Yeah.
our words spread to the universe, and I don't know if you've seen this yet, but there a kid at Brother Rice got a Tom Hammond tie made up, and they got. Tom Hammond-related clothing banned from Brother Rice High School.
that's got to be scary looking.
It is. It is the best email I've ever received. I immediately put on the front page of the blog, I declared him the winner of life. Chris Hall is the winner of life. I think everybody has won at life this weekend. And thanks for being on, Jamie Mack.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
JustCoverBlog.com. Hopefully we'll have Jamie on in the future, possibly for Delaware State or something else. Actually, we're going to try to get Orson for Delaware State just because he's a big Hornets fan. I'm still a little slap happy, but thanks for being on, Jamie.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I had a good time. It was a good time. I was alone. I should have known you were temptation.
This has been MGoBlog Podcast View 1.4. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Jamie Mack for contributing to our humble podcast. And we will catch you next week. This has been the MGoBlog Podcast,
we
number
a wah
4.
From you. Give us a wah.
A wah?
Yeah.
Like, wah! No.
Do it.
Wah.